saving money on remodeling your home at Menards. Start your tile project off right with DentShield Tile Backer from Georgia Pacific. It's proven to protect against moisture in your walls and subfloors with a built-in water barrier, making it perfect to use in damp areas like kitchens and bathrooms. Plus, its easy-to-cut design makes installation a breeze. Save big on Georgia Pacific DentShield Tile Backer panels. On sale through March 2nd. Plus, check out our weekly flyer on Menards.com for more great deals.
Save big money at Menards.
Coming at you live from the heart of Lincoln, America, this is Old School, sponsored by the Mercado by Certified Piedmontese, Nebraska Football Hall of Famer Jay Foreman and Austin Orman. Old School with Foreman and Orman on 93.7 The Ticket and theticketfm.com.
Jay Foreman, Austin Orman. We're the Old School crew. We are coming at you live out here at the complex, 1555 Yolanda Avenue. We'll be out here from 5 to 7. We're here for Lincoln's premier. We're at the Lincoln's premier boxing facility called the complex in the building formerly known as Champions Fund Center. It's owned by Tommy and Tina Arciaga in connection with Southside Boxing Gym. Newly renovated, 17,000 square feet, 1,800 people capacity. Food and alcohol options are available. We're here for a little bit of prelim and then obviously weigh in. Tomorrow, the event, the Heart of a Lion, is at the complex. Doors open at 6. First bout is at 7. You can still buy tickets at thecomplexlincoln.com. Well, like I mentioned just here previous, weigh in is at 6 p.m. during the show. So it'll be interesting to see, guys. We've got some guys that look like they're still trying to make some weight. We got 9 professional bouts this Saturday, including Steve Arizola against Benjamin Branch, Jamar No Mercy Tally against Theodore Morse, Russell Harris versus Jeremiah Grady, and the headliner, Isaiah the Patriot Robinson against Jack Lawless Ferrix.
Nailed it. Jay Foreman, good at names.
That's right. If it's not, that's his new name. Anyways, Old School is brought to you by the Mercado, Certified Piedmontese, Special Ingredients Butcher Shop, 84th and Havelock, 30th Yankee Hill, 85th and Andromat, 168th up there in Maple. Another note, Lincoln Stars against the Sioux Falls Stampede Hockey from the Icebox is next on 93.7 The Ticket and theticketfm.com right after we end at 7 p.m. So power packed next couple hours and on into this Friday night on Valentine's Day. So we want to wish everybody a happy Valentine's Day, depending on your age, if you really celebrate it or not. But either way.
What do you love most about football, Jay?
About football?
Yeah. What do you love about football?
Why are you asking me that?
It's Valentine's Day. What do you love about football?
Oh, what I used to love about football is competing. Learn a lot of life skills, you know, communication, dealing with adversity, exceeding expectations. I mean, everything that you think that sports at its pure purity, it helps builds in some confidence, right? And that you, once you achieve some goals, you hopefully create some lifelong memories and also make some lifelong friends and you become friends and colleagues with people that if it wasn't for football, one, you probably would have never met. Number two, you wouldn't probably consider them being lifelong friends. And so that's a great thing about sports, but in football in particular, I think it's the ultimate team game. I think hockey and football are the two ultimate team games because ultimately when you're playing, you got to make a lot of sacrifice in order to be successful. Yeah, you got to sacrifice time, energy. In some cases, to be on a championship team like the Eagles, you got to sacrifice some money. And then also you got to get lucky, and then you got to create your own luck. I mean, there's a ton of things that go into just playing a game, just winning a game.
A game.
What? Just winning a game at college or high school, college, pros, is truly a team effort. I think you got 53 guys at the NFL level, 105 now, I think, coming in college, which then essentially about the same 53, 60 guys. You got to go out there and you know, walk and chew gum and do the things you need to do to try to be successful while you're putting your skills, your practice habits, your personality, some of your deficiencies on display in front of, well, in our case, you know, 80,000-90,000 people at Nebraska, and then obviously at the Super Bowl case in front of millions and millions of people. So, you know, it takes a lot of courage to play, you know, the game of football. you know, the one thing I will say is, like, anytime anybody that plays football is tough. Because just
you got to be
practicing the sport is tough. And football, I think, is the most unique sport because you have to love football because you practice 90% of the time. You practice 90% of the time. Mm-hmm. You don't get to play 82 games like basketball. You don't get to play 82 games like you do in hockey, 162 in baseball, mm-hmm. so forth and so on. And then once you get to the NFL, there is no other leagues that to fall back on, and it's a lot of time, it's a lot of energy. I think it's a shorter game. It's short sprints and stuff like that, and very physically demanding. And you got to be dealing with the aftermath. You got to be willing to deal with some of that, the effects after. So it takes a big commitment and courage. And this is not to minimize any other sport, but I'm just saying. What you have to do in order to be successful in football is definitely love that sport and be obsessed with it and find different things just to go to practice. most teams are in winter conditioning looking at spring ball, where you're competing in a new landscape of college football. And how do you become motivated and stay motivated in this kind of, I call it the cupcake time, where you're working out, everybody's excited, you're not combating each other, a little bit lower stress levels, and everybody's on the same playing field. Sometimes you can get too comfortable in this whirlwind of off season, and then you don't understand once you get into spring practices, that is a season. You have to win every single day, and that includes even when you don't have a practice or whatever. So that's why football is a very unique sport. I feel like, I was very blessed to – things worked out for me where I came here. I was just talking with my dad, just talking to him, and I was like, man, dad, to be honest with you, now granted, I'm sure in this climate I would have probably started lifting weights and stuff, whatever, but I said,
now walk through the weight room,
right?
Say, hey, how's it going, guys?
I would have to probably honed in and focused on football if this is what I was trying to do in college. But you didn't have to do that when I was coming up. But just I said, Dad, if you'd have just took me, just who I was a good football player. I was I never got caught from behind or anything like that in high school or anything like that. And was pretty good. I mean, obviously, and a good enough athlete. But I don't think I would have been a very highly ranked recruit because, I didn't pass the eye test. I didn't, I ran track. I think I ran the 200 and I ran decent, and it was a, state runner up and multiple times state runner up in the long jump and triple jump. I probably had a decent 100 time. I think 200 was more of my sprint. So, now you need probably a track time or like I didn't go to any camps, so I didn't have any, I wouldn't have had a 40 time. And I didn't really, I went to one camp, didn't take it that serious. I did. I really didn't, Austin. And that was just,
Jay Foreman coasting by on talent.
Well, it wasn't that. My dad, and this is interesting. It how time has evolved. Like when he came up, and his recruiting story of being overlooked at Penn State, and just he was a tight end and a defensive tackle in high school. So it was all about the tape. That was it, right? And there was unlimited scholarships, so forth and so on. But then you got to think that's what he was telling me. Hey, as long as you play good football, you'll get scholarships or you'll get looks. And I remember we just had finished. This is dumb. I was thinking about this. It was the dumbest thing I could have done. Like, we went and we had an AAU national championship down in Phoenix. And we got fourth we lost in the semifinals. So you played like 5-6 games, and 4 or 5 days, if that,
Yeah.
You fly all the way back, hadn't done anything with football, you did a little kind of like, we didn't even call it 7-on-7, we call it passing league. We just did with ourselves. So back in the day, did that a little bit, like a couple times. And then I knew they had a Minnesota Gopher camp, right? And you're just trying to get looks and stuff. And I think it was before my senior year, and I had a pretty good junior year. you know, felt like I was starting to take off a little bit, but not really on the scale that I wanted.
Which was more important for you, your junior year or your senior year?
Senior? See, that, back then it was the first four or five games of your senior year. But I went to this camp, man, and didn't have any, like, football cleats or nothing. Just had my, like, hooping shoes, you know, just some high tops or whatever I played in. It went literally from Minneapolis Airport to the camp late. I don't even think I registered and signed anything.
I'm Chuck Foreman's son. I'm at the camp.
Well, because the camp had already been going on. You know, like, you know what I'm saying?
Right,
so
yeah.
They just ushered me in there. And they were like, all right, we need you to run a 40. No training, nothing.
No, like, stretching.
No stretch.
No nutrition. Literally. No cleats.
Right off the plane to the 40. And I think I might have ran like a 4.8. You know what I'm saying? And I wasn't in any type of football shape or anything like that. And I don't even know, you know, I kind of ran it, but I didn't run it. I didn't, you know, train for it. So that stymied me a little bit, because then they were like, oh, he's not that fast. And, you know, Kevin Sumlin was the wide receiver coach. And, you know, he tried to ask my dad if I was going to walk on. And then, you know, like, you know, them first four games, I was out the gate, because after basketball was over, then I went right into, you know, starting getting ready for football season, you know, start catching passes and all that. And, you know, your boy was, you know, I was, you know, I was striking up the band three or four times, you know,
cock the head back, all that good stuff.
So I was doing all that. And then, you know, our quarterback, who actually ended up going to Michigan a year later.
Is he wearing a vest now?
He does.
Or is he a turtleneck guy?
Jason is both. And the funny thing about it is he broke my rebound record.
Oh.
And he still lets me hear about it all the time. He's a great dude. He's actually the only dude that I like. He's one of Tom Brady's best friends. Actually, he was ahead of Tom Brady on the depth chart at one time.
Hello.
That's a trivia question. And he got hurt. You know, he had like kind of had a, like a slight sprain and a bone in his foot. So he was out, and they had to move the you know, because I only played offense, but to the safety, the quarterback, I got on defense. It was on like a butter popcorn. Light. Hey, Austin.
Like, where is this on my life?
Hey, Austin. I'll talk about Castor. I mean, I was head hunting. Okay. I knocked out Dave Watson, who was a good friend of mine. We grew up together playing, you know, basketball together. Was trying to hunt Lane down because he was quarterback. Knocked Lloyd Lee out.
How close did you get to Lane? Did
he
you get
him? No, no.
You got to adapt too quick?
But then I got a pick.
Good. Okay. Good.
I high stepped, and then he pushed me back, pushed me out of bounds, cussed at me. And then I hit him up for like – I hit him up for like probably about 240.
Woo!
A couple tons.
Sheesh!
You know what I'm saying?
Oh, yeah. All that good 15 stuff.
15-yard penalty.
All that
dancing. And then after that
– So that continued into the NFL is what you're saying.
Yeah. Then after that, yeah.
Set exactly. The bar.
I needed to nip it in the bud. Then after that, you know, my Dan Henning. I want to give a shout-out to Coach Dan Henning. He was the wrestling coach, and he was our O-line coach. One of my good friends, man, and he's just him and his wife are retiring at the end of this school year.
Congrats,
man, and they're going out together. His son's great, both their kids are great. He came up, I'll never forget, after that game he came up, he was like, hey, he's like, I know Coach Grant mad at you, he's like, but I think you sealed the deal last night. I was like, what you mean? He's like, you going D1. He's like, there ain't no doubt about it after last night. And I was like, really? And he's like, yeah, we end up winning. Then, you know, rest is history. But just because I was not developed. And so when you think about football, what I liked about it, I like it because it gives you it gave me a chance to come here and exceed expectations. I talk about the time when I'd start to kind of progress in the NFL. Actually, I was flying back to Buffalo for training camp going into my third year. And I started and done pretty deep, you know, started to kind of take off or whatever. This dude comes up to me. He's like, you Jay Foreman? And I'm like, yeah. And I'm like, all right, what did I do? You know, you know, or whatever. And he's like, hey, man, I just want to tell you. He's like, I used to ref your games in high school. He's like, I want to tell you congrats. He's like, because watching you in high school, I never would have thought you would have made it. You know, like, and it wasn't that and he meant it like, dang, dude, you got a lot better.
You exceeded expectations.
Yeah, exceeded expectations. And so at first I was like, I don't know if that's a compliment. He's like, but it's a compliment because, you know, I went and worked hard and I had a lot of ways to, like, upside. You know, I was not developed or anything like that. But then I just wanted to prove people wrong and prove myself right and get better. And then, you know, once you start to kind of get in shape and you figure, like, I knew I could play the game. I knew I had a mind for the game. I had a new lease on life that, you know, I always had got, you know, when you're Chuck Foreman's son, they just put you in running back, give you the ball, let you do your thing.
Which you did, to your credit.
Yeah, and the best thing was I saw Lawrence Phillips and all those guys, and the rest in peace, Calvin Jones. I was like, yeah, you know, I'm good. I'm not that good right now.
Then you decided to try to be Reggie Ball.
They tried to make me Reggie Ball, and that was not happening. I'll never forget. I looked at the they send you this like media guy. I looked at the receiving leaders. It was like Abdul Muhammad, 20 catch. Like, man, I ain't doing it. That's a waste of my time. He's like,
well, I got better things to do.
Coach Brown was like, yeah, you have a big role in there. I was like, nah. If I'm gonna go play receiver, I'm gonna go to like Iowa or something like that. And I'm gonna get the rock, and then so. You know, play defense.
Let's just pause for a second and think about what you just said.
Iowa?
If I'm going to play receiver, I'm going to go to Iowa where I'll get the rock.
Well, no.
That's not something you've been able to say in the last 25 years.
Right. And, well, I probably wouldn't have played receiver because me and Tim Dwight were on the same. He was going to be there. I would have probably ended up playing safety. I would have started. At least with that. That's what they told me. But, I mean, I had other options to go. But I just, you know, I think that's the great, you know, when you hear kids coming out of high school that only want to play one position, so forth and so on. I'm just like, man, you're missing the boat. Because the majority of the guys that are playing in the NFL, that's not even the position that they played. Like, Ed Reed was a quarterback.
Yeah, people forget.
Right. Like, you know, my dad was a defensive tackle and tight end. He was a wingbacker, kind of flanker, you know, whatever, all the way up until his senior year in college. And all the other guys that have done different things. I mean, you know, we got the combine coming up, Travis Hunter. It's supposedly, you know, only, you know, going to be as a workout as a DB, you know, but look how great he is. I think the more that you can do and the more that you're open to a position change, I think it could open up things for it. And I was, you know, blessed enough to have, you know, some foresight, and I did not want to go cut block. I felt like I was just too good for that.
Turns out you were right.
Yeah, I wouldn't have came to Nebraska to do that. I don't even
Northwestern, Iowa, K-State.
I might be mad.
Go back to Kevin Sumlin before you cut block.
I'd be mad at Coach Brown if they had me over there. I probably wouldn't even talk to him to this day.
Nice of him to stop by yesterday, though.
It was. Coach Brown, he still looks the same as when he recruited me.
Town of youth, baby.
It is, man. And you know, the crazy thing about the combine, I know it's coming up here and stuff like that, Austin, is that, you know, once you go, you know, the crazy thing, this is the hard thing about going this gray area here, right? And I heard on early break and then they were talking about PFF where Ty is ranked and Fedoni and all that. Like, you go and you put in your work. Like, yeah, I won 3 national championships, right? Mm-hmm. You know, up for the buckets and all that great stuff. So, you know, we were so simple-minded. We never talked about the pros. We never thought about it. We felt like if we played here, and hopefully they get back to this, if you play here, you play good enough, you're going to get a shot. Now, obviously, I was able to play with some special players. And things have changed. And a lot of these guys think they're going from high school to the pros, and college is just a pit stop, you know. God forbid you're still 1% of the 1%, and the half of that 1% of that last half of percent make it past 4 years. That ain't never going to change, but it might change for everybody else. The funny thing about it is that you play good here, and you do the things you do. You play good football, and then you're right back to square one. You don't know if you're good enough. Then there's guys out of, you know, Clemson that get drafted. You know, the guys, you know, Nate Stinson that get drafted. Or that you know, you hear about, or Matt Hughes, that, you know, he's almost 6'4", and you're only 6'2", and stuff like that. And then you got to go prove yourself again at the highest level. This time, you playing for your check. And so that's the hard part, because once you get there, literally, I think getting a shot is easier than sticking and making it and playing and getting better. Now, it's a little bit easier now because they don't really – There's not a lot of love for football. A lot of these guys don't love football. They love everything it goes with. It was a little bit
hard. When did that change, in your estimation?
What
changed it?
Probably society changed. I think it softened everything when you couldn't really coach kids hard. I think people don't know the difference between a coach coaching you hard and doing it because he cares about you and he sees – And he believes in you probably a lot more than you believe in yourself versus some coaches taking shots at you personally. And I've played for both. And it's hard. And sometimes, you know, I would tell you, man, sometimes just you might just got coaches don't like the way you look. He don't like your family background. I had some coaches that were intimidated by my dad. He never really was around, you know, but just who who my dad was. Now my dad has a bigger personality than me, you know, like, you know, rightfully so. He's, you know, hopefully on the cusp of making the Hall of Fame. And those coaches, I think, probably remember him as a, you know, as a star-studded player in the NFL.
Right.
So, you know, maybe they, you know, a little bit intimidated by that and thinking, you know, but, you know, I think my dad always just told me, just go work your tail off and, you know, get what's yours. So I think that as society changes and coaching had to change, and then I think that kind of, you know, made the, you know, and then there just became so many options, you know, club teams and all that, which rightfully so, there's more people on the face of the earth, but.
And the slump for football is probably not something you can manufacture. Is no. You either have it or you don't.
No. Yeah. Well, no, I think you can become, I think you can develop it, you know, because I think once you learn what it is or what it means, you know, like you could tell me in high school, or I could tell you I'm working hard, or I thought I worked hard. When you got here, just doing the bare minimum is the hardest thing I've ever done. You know, just doing what you're supposed to do. Then you got to go. So, but then once you kind of become okay with it, you break through that threshold, then I think it's then you can love it. Then you got to be just a competitor. I always felt like I wanted to see what it was like if I could get to the biggest stage. I like to compete. I like this. I liked the big games, and that was. And that was not something that I like had as a freshman, ready when I was starting. Mm-hmm. It was something that I kind of had to train my mind. It's a learner. I mean, playing sports, man. You see dudes out there. I'm telling you, man. You there's more doubt, man. I'm telling you. I was just talking to some of my basketball players. You know, they got games coming. I said, listen, man. You know, I send them a text every once in a while. I said, you got to feed the faith and starve the doubt every single day.
Not every other day.
Every day.
Not sometimes.
And that's huge. I mean, that's just in life in general. Mm-hmm. But being an athlete, everybody thinks you're not human. You are human. You got a lot of emotions, you know, and it's hard to play. And it's a tough game, and it's, you know, and you got to be tough. And toughness isn't just all the time physical. I think it's more mental. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
I mean, get your butt.
Well, I mean, obviously, football is the physical game, right? I mean, you said, you know, collision sport more right. than contact sport. That you're going to get beat up. I mean, you've attested to that firsthand. Right. But think about the mental fortitude it takes to not just willingly put yourself through, but to enjoy putting yourself through it, because you have to love the game to be able to do what you did at the level you did for as long as you did.
And that's where it's a catch-22, because you got to make sure you do more above and beyond, because it takes mental toughness to get out there. And like in my case, right, I was trying to make the extra play. I got ran over by Eddie George. Before I got to Houston, I'm running across the field, and Lamar Smith it seemed like he dragged me for 30 yards. It probably was like five. But it's on a national stage. And then, so you got to be able to find, you got to know that I've worked hard and I am good enough, because, mm-hmm. you know, it could be, and I will tell you, man, I won't say the linebacker's name. Michael Vick did something to a linebacker, and I will tell you, he was never the same since. And if you know who he is, he actually was Florida State linebacker, and he was a good ascending young player. And Michael Vick got a hold of him, and he never recovered.
Mm.
And he played a couple years after that. He never recovered.
But you're not the same.
Just not the same. Mm. You know, and that's why. And it takes some heart to, you know, like I could. I mean, there's a play one time that I covered. No, not on that play. That's the safety's fault. The one, you know, Peyton must have been targeting me.
That's personal.
Yeah, man.
Dang.
He ain't allowed back in Omaha no more. I just was thinking about
Unfortunately for you, Tennessee baseball is still pretty good, and he has a very good chance.
You know what? I don't even go up there that much. You know, I said, listen, man. Hey, bro, we was in the locker room together. But as I start to think about it, though, He threw one on me against with Marcus Pollard, right?
Okay.
Now, I broke up a couple, but he did that. Uh-huh. Thinking about it.
Okay.
I had my way with Dilger, so yeah. I was okay there. But I feel like, now I think about it, man, he kept throwing Dallas Clark. You know what? I'm putting that on my notes on my phone, man. Huh. Me and him going to have a
a nice friendly conversation.
Yeah, well, yeah. What you going to try to say? I wasn't fast enough or something, man? So let's settle. I want to know what's up, Peyton.
Why are you coming at me?
Yeah, okay. But
he's just still mad about 97.
That's what I think it is.
It's got to be.
Don't be mad at me.
He made it personal.
Be mad at Jason and Grant. They don't want tearing off any. Nah, I did tear off any. Now, I will tell you this, though.
You were a small part of it. You got it.
On an interception, I was giving Peyton the business.
But, he probably deserved it.
Nah, yeah, but yeah, you know, anyways, man. But I mean, it's good down to memory lane. What is about to go down memory lane, Austin, is the weigh-in. Mm. And I'm gonna tell you this though: when you box now, you got your team that leads you up here, and we got the ring back here. But when you in there though, ain't nobody can save you. You know, that take a lot of courage to go in there. We're old school Foreman and Orman. We are live out here at the complex once again. 1555 Yolanda Avenue. Get on the complex, Lincoln.com. Get your tickets. It is the Heart of a Lion event tomorrow. Opens at 6. First bout is at 7. We're going to take a quick break, come back, and talk about some more. Man, awesome. Did I ever tell you about the time I used to do Golden Gloves?
You did not.
All right, I'm going to tell you about that. I'm going to tell you the reason why. Watching Rocky got me into it, and I had a decent record. You know what? But I'm going to tell you what happened. It changed my life. It just brought back memories right here. Jay Foreman and Austin Orman. We'll be right back.
You're listening to Old School with Jay Foreman and Austin Orman. Download the mobile app and listen wherever you are on 93.7 The Ticket and theticketfm.com.